Good morning to all of you. I am so glad that God put it on your hearts to join in this sanctuary at this time to worship God. I want to begin with just a recap of the series that Pastor Dan has been doing. We were in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and Pastor Dan started talking about John the Baptist, how he saw Jesus coming, and he declared at that time, the Lamb of God. See the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John was saying that he himself, John was coming, baptizing with water. But John also said, I am not worthy even to tie the sandals of the one who is to come. So then the next day, as John was going out and he's preaching again, and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples then of Jesus got up and started following him. And Jesus turned around and he said, what are you looking for? And Pastor Dan has asked us to see those words again as, who do you seek? What are you seeking? And then the disciples said, where do you abide? And, well, Christ said, the disciples were asking, where do you abide? And Jesus said, come and see. These were the verses 29 through 42. And I'm starting today at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And some translations have it as, there is no guile. Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have entitled this sermon, Finding and being found. Finding and being found. You know, I wanted to begin this with the clouds, because every time I look up in the sky, every time I see the clouds and their movement, and even these rain clouds, I think about the return of the Christ coming on the clouds. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Would you say that prayer with me? Come, Lord Jesus, come. And I want them today not to just be words, but to be something that you feel inside yourself. A prayer that comes from deep within. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, after reading this text, I couldn't help but to notice how many times the word found was used, even in the previous verses. Andrew found his brother Simon. He found the Messiah. The Christ found his disciples. Philip found Nathanael. And it made me think, and I asked the question, who is truly finding whom? Who's seeking and who's finding? There's a United Methodist hymn called I Sought the Lord. And the first verse is, I sought the Lord, and afterward, I knew he moved my soul to seek him as he was seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found by thee. In verse 48 of the passage that I just read, we surmise that Nathanael is seeking the Lord. We can kind of know this because he was seen sitting under the fig tree. Now, I know a lot of you would ask, how in the world will we know he was seeking the Lord because he was sitting under a fig tree? I sit under a fig tree all the time, do you? But the fig tree stood for peace. The fig tree was a place where they sat to study the Torah, where they sat to meditate, where they sat to pray. Look at its leaves. They're big. So it's the fig tree itself is just leafy, and the shade that these branches can just hover over you, and in that place you can find peace and you can find the strength of God. I read Nathanael was praying for the day when God's chosen one would come. And he was meditating on the promises of God. Now, I kind of got an inclination when I said the fig tree a few minutes ago that I'm gathering that no one here has a fig tree. Is that right? Oh, wonderful. Anybody else? Over here, okay, we have two. The pearls, and who's that? Stephanie, I'm blinded by the light. Dr. Stephanie. Okay, so that means that we can come to either of your homes? They're both saying yes. So if we want to just sit under the fig tree, are your leaves this big? Oh my God, Jim says yes. Steph, oh my God, yes. There was someone in the 8:30 service who had a fig tree, and I asked, were the leaves that big and full? And she said yes, and the husband said no. But now we know, you saw the hands that went up. So whenever we want a Bible study, whenever we want to sit and meditate, we're going either to the Chandlers or to the Pearls. I don't have a fig tree. I don't. But I have my own little private space for prayer. I know you're thinking of something really beautiful with the cross and the candles and the linens that's going across and like the altar paraments. Well, my place of prayer is the bathroom. Believe it or not, I like the way my voice bounces off the walls. There's a reverberation in that small space. But in there, I feel my prayer clings to the ear of Jesus. It catches the attention of my Lord, and I say, Come, Lord Jesus, come. Say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Most times, though, it's quiet prayer. These are my most intimate thoughts and meditations, and I call them for God's ears only. William Barclay describes it as the inarticulate sigh of the soul. Think about it. Is there something that you have never told anyone? Something that you just keep to yourself? It rests in your spirit. It's on your mind, and it's on your heart. And for whatever reason why you haven't shared that with someone else, it may make them have a different opinion of you. They may see you in a different light. It may be because it may raise you up and lower them. It may be something that embarrasses you. But whatever it is, think about that. Something that you have never told anyone. And that is the inarticulate sigh of the soul. Let me share such a time. When I was 27, and Dan earlier was just telling everybody my age, so we know how long ago that was. But when I was 27, I was pregnant and divorced. And a single woman could not get maternity insurance. I don't know if I've shared that with you before. It was my second pregnancy, and I knew I needed a C-section. I remembered the cost from my first child, even with insurance. There's the hospital bill, the doctor bill, the OR bill, the medication bill, not including the anesthesia bill, and the anesthetist bill. This was the time when bills were itemized. We wouldn't know about that now. All this was on my mind and seemingly just too much for me to carry on my own. So I went to God for God's ears only, and I prayed and I meditated on God's promises. It was the inarticulated sigh of my soul. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. I was a nurse, and on just a regular day, I went in to join the director of nurses and our medical director just for a review of my patients. And as soon as I walked in the room, the doctor looked at me. I was not showing, but he looked at me and he said, "Are you pregnant?" I felt like Nathaniel, who asked, "Where did you get to know me?" But I responded in a reptilian sort of way with, "So what if I am? Are you going to deliver the baby?" He just happened to be an OBGYN. I pounced on him as he revealed my truth. Imagine, ladies, you have not told anyone yet, and someone just screams your secret, especially into the workplace. He knew what I had not told anyone. He released into the airwaves the inarticulated sigh of my soul. And he responded with grace and love. He said, yes, I'll deliver your baby. Nathaniel had been eyed by Jesus under the fig tree. where he was praying and meditating. It's not my bathroom, but I guess the big leaves of this tree were special too, where the inarticulated sighs of the soul could lay like drops of rain. And when the sun shone through, every word of prayer evaporated from every leaf and ascended to God's ear. Nathanael was surprised that Jesus read the thoughts of his inmost soul. And William Barclay, a commentator, says Nathanael said to himself, "Here is the man who understands my dreams, who knows my prayers. Here is the man who has seen into my most intimate and secret longings, longings which I have never, ever dared put into words. Here is the man who can translate the inarticulated sigh of my soul. This must be God's promised one. I sought the Lord," verse 2. "Thou did reach forth thy hand and mind enfold. I walked and sank not on the storm-vexed sea. It was not so much that I on thee took hold as thou, dear Lord, on me. Come, Lord Jesus, come." And when the Lord comes, then what? Then what? We must sincerely ask ourselves, then what? When our Jesus moment comes and we are truly found, we are truly convicted and singled out by God, what will be revealed? What is the secret that you are holding close to your heart that will not escape our Lord and Savior? Think about your inarticulated thoughts or sighs, blessings or curses. When we are found by God, what will be revealed about us as individuals, as a family, as a church, as a community? Will the Christ say, "Here is truly a follower in whom there is no deceit"? Will the Christ say, "Here is such a follower, and there is such a follower, and over here is such a follower in whom there is no guile"? When we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," and Christ comes, are we really ready for our innermost inarticulated sighs of our souls to be exposed, to be judged? Can anything good come from not Nazareth, but us? Can anything good come from us? Can anything good come from us as we are heavily draped in the human condition, bent toward sin, bent toward unkindness to our neighbor, the one who looks different, who dresses different, who speaks differently, bent toward selfishness, everything revolving around me, how this is going to affect me when we go? What about me? bent toward sin and unfaithfulness in our marriage, bent toward jealousy, bent toward envy, bent toward impatience and complacency. Does any of that sound like us? We don't want it to sound like us, but we cannot escape it. We cannot doff the human condition. So we stand sinful, prideful, boastful, arrogant. But John the Baptist told us what we can do. We can behold the Lamb of God. Now behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin that I may live again. The precious Lamb of God. And here we find that we have gone full circle. Back to John 1:21. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the Lamb of God who carries all our guilt and sin and shame, and Jesus becomes the scapegoat. Here is the Lamb of God that wipes our slate clean. These are the words of grace. These are the words of John the Baptist as he was alluding to the sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus, the anointed one of God, sent to earth to be slain, to take away all our sin, all of our deceit, all of our guile, leaving only purity of heart, mind, and soul. Even the name Nathanael stands for those whose heart was cleansed of pride and prejudice and who saw in Jesus the one who satisfied the longing of the waiting, seeking heart. So Nathanael may not have been one of the 12. Some say maybe he's Bartholomew. Some say no, Nathanael may not have been one of the 12. But what they do want us to see is that I am Nathanael, and you are Nathanael. We all are Nathanael. We know now what we seek. We seek the Lord, the one who will satisfy the longings in our lives, in the life of the church, and in our relationship with others. Come, Lord Jesus, come. As we see ourselves as Nathanael, then we also know that God has purified us. He has made us clean and pure so that we can stand in front of the Christ. And the only thing the Christ sees is the pureness of heart, mind, body, and soul. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We are ready. We are ready. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him as he was seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, no. I was found by thee. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.